Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together in your house with your people. Lord, we come together to study your word and, Lord, to learn more about you. I pray now the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He will teach us today the truths that we need to know to be a better person, a better Christian. Lord, I just commit the service to you now. And again, I ask for your will to be accomplished in all of our lives. Bless those that are sick, not able to be with us. I pray, God, they'll be able to be back next week, according to your will, in Jesus' name, amen. Now look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 1. The writer says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Consider Christ Jesus. Notice the apostle and high priest of our profession, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have considered what he is in himself here. What Christ is in himself. What the Son of God is in himself. We see he is the apostle of God. He's the apostle of our profession. He's the high priest. We also see in chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, we won't read that, what he is to us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is a messenger that has been sent by God on a very important, with a very important message. That is to seek and to save the lost. That's me, that's you. I'm so glad that God so loved us that he sent his Son to come and seek me and find me through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, anointed by the Spirit of God, which has drawn me to Christ. We have considered what he is in himself, what he is to us. And also we see in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 through 47, we have considered him as the Lord of heaven. The Lord of heaven. The Lord of heaven. Turn there. Let's look at these verses one more time. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, look at verse number 45. I like these verses. They just speak out to me when I read them. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, and that which is natural, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth earthly. The second man is of the Lord, is the Lord of from heaven." I like verse 47. It says, "The first man," verse 46, I'm sorry, "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual." The first Adam was not spiritual, but that which is natural. He was a natural man. And after that came the spiritual man. The spiritual man, the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. We also talked about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18, how that Jesus Christ was before all things in time. He always has been. He's been with the Father. He is before all things in time. We also see how he is before all things in importance. There's no one, nothing more important than Jesus Christ, God's Son. He should be first in our thinking, in our life. He's first. He is most important in our life. Now, turn back over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is a very interesting book when we look at him. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the writer of Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. That is God with us. God with us. And we see in verse number 5, in chapter 1, in verse number 5, as we look at this, we see the person of Christ. The person of Christ in Hebrews. In verse number 5, let's look at verse number 4 first of all. "Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." We see first of all here in the book of Hebrews that the writer is saying that God is God. This is God's only Son. Jesus Christ is God's only Son. He is begotten of him. And the last part of that verse, last part of verse 5 says, "And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. We see here in this verse that the Son in whom the Father was well pleased. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who he was well pleased with. Nothing did he find wrong with him. We also see in verse number 6 of chapter 1, and again when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. We see here he is the risen Lord. The risen Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn, returning to earth when he came to earth here. In verse number 7, we see, speaks about the angels. Look at it, verse 7. And again, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. The angels, the spirits, the beings in the service of God. He's speaking about here the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 8 and 9, we see here, very important, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. We find here that the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, is eternal God. He's eternal God. Eternal God. And then we find in verses 10 through 12, the Son, the eternal Lord and Creator. In verse number 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, thou remain, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. We find here the eternal Lord and Creator. And we find in verse 13, the great high priest sitting on the right hand of the Father. He says in verse 13, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We see here the writer of Hebrews, again, is just introducing us more or less to the person of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we've been talking about his pre-incarnate state. Today we're going to his incarnate state as he become a man. He become a man, and we see this. We see as the eternal Son of God, he was virgin born. He was sinless. When he lived here on this earth, he did many miracles. And we see that he himself, who was just, became unjust for you and I. He was buried, crucified, buried, and rose again the third day as an eternal Son of God. We see also as the perfect Son of Man, Jesus was, the perfect Son of Man, we find he became a Savior indeed. He had to die in order to become a Savior. Thank God today that Jesus was willing to die for me. He died for you. He died for the whole world. He became the Son of Man. That's probably the most popular name he has in the New Testament, as the writers give him, the Son of Man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see as the God-man, he's our great high priest, our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking today as the writer here in Hebrews tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians today as we continue talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as we consider him, God's Son, considering the Son of God. In Galatians chapter number 4, of course, we know that Paul is a writer here, and Paul speaks much of course, the Lord Jesus Christ here. We see, first of all, here in verse number 4, Galatians 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When the fullness of time was come. You know, I see the hand of God, the mercy of God throughout the Bible as we read it. In the days of Noah, when there was wickedness all over the world, men's imaginations were running wild and wicked, they were sinful people. And we see there the grace of God, the mercy of God, in God raising up a man named Noah to build an ark for the saving of mankind, the mercy of God. And as Noah labored and worked hard to build that ark and invited people to come in, he preached and worked 120 years, but yet only his family came in and was saved. We see the hand of God in that, trying to allow mankind to know him. But man didn't want to know God at that time. They didn't want to know God. And we see, as time goes on, through all the dispensations throughout the Bible, we see there in innocence and conscience and human government, promised law, and now in the day of grace we live in. I'm so thankful today that I live in the day of grace. I'm glad that I don't live in the day of law. I'm glad, as our preacher says many times, we don't have to bring a sacrifice. Our sacrifice was given over 2,000 years ago, and that was sufficient for now until eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. He was that supreme sacrifice. But when the fullness of time was come, the Bible says in verse number 4, God sent forth his Son. God sent forth his Son. The fullness of time, the completion of an appointed time. You know, God has times, again, dispensations throughout the Bible. And when the fullness of time was come, the time appointed by the Father. I'm so glad that God the Father has everything in control. Everything in control. Back in the days of Noah, he knew when that was going to happen. He appointed it to happen. Right on down to today in which we live. We know the Lord's coming, don't we? We don't know when, but we know he's coming. There's going to be a completion of the day, the dispensation of grace. That's when the Lord's going to come, you see. But the dispensation of law is winding down here now, we see. And the fullness of time has come, and God is sending forth his Son to come down to this earth. In other words, the earth is now, the world is now prepared for the coming of the Lord as a Savior, as a man. The world is prepared for his coming at this time, you see. And we see, that's just what we're going to look at. There was a fullness of time, the Bible says, was come. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, the fullness of time was come when God is going to have an opportunity to deliver the world. Men are sinners. Men are lost. And God wants people saved. So therefore, God is going to send his Son to pay the sin debt for mankind at the end of the law, end of the dispensation of law, and now grace is coming in, the grace of God, the love of God. And we see now, as he sends for, we see here how God is going to deliver the world. How is God going to deliver the world? We see he's going to send his own Son as a man under the law, verse number 4. My, what a price he paid for us, folks. We can't imagine the price that Jesus Christ paid for you and I and our sins. But God sent his Son to deliver us from our sins. If Jesus had not come, no telling what we would be or where we would be today. But thank God he came. He came on his own. He came because he loved us. God sent his own Son. Why did God send his Son? Look at verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem those that are under the law. I thank God again, I'm not under the law anymore. I believe, you know, I thank God we're under we're living a dispensation of grace, and we have the opportunity to be redeemed. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. He redeemed us. My, what a price he paid, folks. We can't imagine the price he paid for you and I. But I'm so glad that he did. I'm so glad he paid my price and your price. We also see not only how and why, but the results of him coming. When God's Son came to the world as a man under the law to redeem us, we see in verse number 6 what happened. Verse number 6 tells us the results. It says, And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. We're adopted as God's sons, God's children, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him coming to die for us. I'm glad to be part of God's family, aren't you? I'm glad to be an adopted son of God. And know without any doubt that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm glad to know that. We receive the assurance of our acceptance by the Spirit of God that comes and dwells within us. God's Spirit moves within us. We become heirs of God. In verse number 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a what? A son. If a son, then an heir of God, through who? Christ Jesus. We are an heir of God through Christ Jesus, we see here. Yes, he who was truly God, for our sake, he became man. God became man for you and for me. My, what a love he has for mankind. We spoke about last week about how we're here to please God. We're here to praise God. You know, I was talking to a guy yesterday. I'm afraid that we as God's children don't praise God enough. We don't praise God enough. You know, it'll make a difference in our attitude when we begin to praise God and thank him for what he's done. It really will. It really will. It'll make a lot of difference. But he who was truly God, for our sakes, he became a man. He became a man for you and I, that he could die for you and I. He who was Lord of all, he became subject to take upon himself a man and become a servant. He himself did that. He came in our flesh, in our nature, if you please, and suffered and died for us, that he might redeem us from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. The punishment that he has in store for us, and for the curse of the law. He was sent to redeem us, pay our price, buy us back, so to speak. He was sent to redeem us that we might no longer be accounted as a servant, but become a son of God. No longer servants, but now children of God. By what we see of the Lord Jesus Christ here. We look at the work of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and what he did for us. God has prepared, God in his own time, through the law, prepared the world for the coming of his Son. God did this. And now it's the fullness of time, and God is going to send his Son. God prepares the world. Just like today, I believe with all my heart, God is preparing the world today for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preparing it. Sometimes we as God's children don't understand because of things that are happening. We question, why this? But listen, we've got to realize all this is in God's hands. All we can do is what God wants us to do. That is to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ and lead the rest to him. Because he knows what he's doing. We don't know what we're doing sometimes, but he does. He always knows what he's doing. And the fullness of the time is coming, I believe again, for the second coming of Christ too. I really believe that. But we're talking about the first time he came as a man. God had prepared the world for his coming, for the coming of his Son. We know that God and God alone, he decided when the coming of Christ was to take place. Nobody went to him and told him or asked him or suggested to him. He alone did it. He had a time that the world was going to be right and he was going to send forth his Son and he'd become a man for you and I. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1. Turn there if you will, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. Ephesians 1, verse number 9. The Bible says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. We see here that again, God decided when the time was to come for his Son to come down on this earth. Now notice, God's Son was born of a particular person, was he not? The Bible says that Mary was a highly favored. She was chosen by God. Mary had to be on this earth. She had to be a young lady. The time had to be right, didn't it? God knew the fullness of time. And we see because of that, we see God's Son was born of a particular person. There was only one person, as far as God's concerned, that was qualified to bring forth his Son, and that was Mary, a young lady. Not only was God's Son born of a particular person, but he was also born at a particular time. There was a time when Jesus Christ was to be born, a particular time. We'll talk about that a little later in a few minutes, but a particular time. See, God has all things under control. God's Son was born in a particular way. Jesus Christ could have been born in a mansion, could he not? But God chose him to be born lowly in a manger, in a trough where cows have been fed out of, with a little bit of straw placed there. He was born lowly. He was born in a particular way. He was born under a particular system, that is the law. The law. Jesus Christ, when he came, we're to consider him, folks, and when he came, it's very important. There was a fullness of time when he came. God had it all planned. We also see as he was born, we see he shared the frustration that you and I do of being subjected to the system that he came really to save men from. That is the law. He became subject to the law. He did. The law had done its work. The law had pointed out to mankind that they were sinners. They were sinners, terrible sinners. And because of that, we see they literally despised the blessings of God sometimes. Look at the children of Israel. Look at the people in the world. So we see that God had prepared the world for his coming, the fullness of time. The world was, when Jesus came and was born, was full of people that were literally starving spiritually. They were starving spiritually. They really were. We see the world was at peace as far as rulers concerned by the Roman Empire, by Rome. We see also that the world spoke one language, and that was Greek. That was universal throughout the world in the time that Jesus Christ came. The world had a system to travel, and it was a mass system. They could go to the farthest parts of the world. They could travel. They had a system to do that. This is when God prepared the world for his coming. The world was ready, and they didn't even realize it. But God sent his own Son into the world for one purpose, that is to deliver you and me, to deliver mankind. And we're going to consider him as a deliverer today. He's our deliverer. He's the one that took my place. He took your place. He has delivered us, folks. We don't have to go to hell. We can go to heaven because we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did on Calvary for you and I. He has delivered us from the penalty of sin, the judge, bondage of sin. Praise God, one day he's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. We'll be out of this world. We'll be in another place. We don't have to worry about aches and pains. We don't have to worry about nothing around us. All is going to be well one day. I'm longing for that day. I know you are. God sent his own Son to the world to deliver us. It's been said many times, if you were the only person in the world, God would still have sent his Son to die for you. And I believe that because he loves mankind so much. But I also believe that God cared and loved for us so much that he sent no less than his best for you and I, his Son, Jesus Christ. He sent the very best he had, his only begotten Son. My, he paid a price for us. He delivered us from bondage of sin and death. I'm so glad today to know that Jesus Christ is in the delivering business. He delivers mankind from their sins. He gives them peace and joy in their heart. God sent his Son also, notice, made of a woman. That is, born out of a woman. Born out of a woman. God sent his Son, made of a woman. He was sent by God. God spoke his word, and Mary became with child. She was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and in her was birthed the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad today to know that Jesus Christ was made of a woman, that is, born out of a woman. He had to become a man, to become flesh. Our deliverer, let's consider our deliverer today. Jesus Christ sent his Son, God sent his Son, born under the law also. Born under the law. We see that. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's read a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 8. He was born under the law. He was subject to the law. Jesus Christ had to live under the law in order to secure the perfect righteousness. He did something that nobody else has ever done or nobody else could do. He lived a perfect life, a sinless life. while he was here on this earth. 33 plus years. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 3 and 4. The Bible says, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." Why? "That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." My, we see here again how God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to do what he did, what no other person has ever done. He lived a sinless life, that we might obtain his righteousness. God sent his Son to be born under the law. Also, we see that God sent his Son to redeem mankind, to redeem us, to pay our penalty, our sin debt. We owed a debt we could not pay. Christ paid a debt he did not owe. He died for you. He died for me. I'm so glad to know he did that. Jesus was made a curse for us. He literally was made a curse for me and for you. He delivered us. We consider today him as a deliverer. A deliverer. Because he obeyed and kept the law of God perfectly, he delivered us. Also, because he is love. He loves us, and he himself is love. He has delivered us. Jesus Christ bore the curse of the law. Bore the curse of the law to allow us to have receive the blessings of God. Because he died, because he bore the curse, you and I can have the blessings of God. Knowing Christ is our Savior, knowing that our souls are saved, live a wonderful life on this earth and look forward to one day being with him throughout eternity. Jesus Christ, our deliverer. The person who believes on Christ receives the very promises of Christ. The person who believes on Christ receives the promises of Christ. You know, we share that many times with people who try to win to Christ. We, you know, Romans 10, verse 9, 10, that if thou shalt confess, put their names in there. If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart and God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Put their names in that. God's word has many promises for us, for mankind, especially God's children. But those who believe in Christ receive the very promise of God. Now, what is the promise of God? What is the promise of God that the person that believes can receive? What is that? Of course, there are many promises that we can receive. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, look at chapter number 1. 2 Peter and chapter number 1. We see one of the promises that God, that the believer receives when accepting Christ as our Savior is the divine nature of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us an exceeding great and precious promise." Why? Whereby? Given to us a what? It says a great and a precious promise. Promises, okay. The Bible says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be what? Partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruptible that is in the world through lust." Through lust. We find here, we see the promise of the divine nature of God. If you're a born-again child of God today, you have received the very divine nature of God. That is His Holy Spirit that indwells you. There's something different about you when you trust Christ as your Savior. He comes in. And makes you different. It makes you different because He's within you. You know, God is so big. God is a big God. He's vast. He controls the whole world. The song says, God's so big that He can hold the world in His hand. But yet He's so small He can live in the heart of a man. I'm so glad to know that He lives within me. He lives within me and helps me to be what I ought to be if I will allow Him to. But I have to allow Him to. He's not gonna hit me over the head and make me be what he wants me to be. He may chasten me sometimes as God's children, but he won't make me do what he ought to do. But he will try to direct me and help me. So we see one of the promises of God that the man who believes in Christ received is the divine nature. In John chapter 3, verse 3 through 6, we know the story there. We receive the new birth, being born again by the Word of God, the precious word, by the Spirit of God. We see here, we see receive the new birth as a believer in Christ, as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, another promise we receive is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, to be in Christ is what? A new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. When a person gets saved, if there's no difference in their life, chances are they didn't get saved. Because the Bible says, therefore, for man to be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Those things that I used to do, I don't want to do. When Christ is within me. If Christ is not in me, I'll continue to do those old things. But if he's in me, there's going to be a difference in me. There's going to be a difference in someone else. It may not be instantly. It may not be very fast, but there's going to be a difference. There's going to be a difference. I know, remember one year I was in a church, and we had a bus minister like we do here, and bus kids were coming in, you know. This guy came in. He'd been a few Sundays, and he had hair down to his shoulders and, you know, all kinds of stuff, and he'd come in, and finally one Sunday morning, he'd come in, and he got in church, you know, and at the invitation time, he went forward, and he got saved. He got saved. And praise God. You know, he came back that night, and you know what? He had his hair cut. I mean, it was just that fast, as far as he was concerned. He changed, because when our heart changes, it changes our outward appearance. It changes our outward appearance. It's going to make a difference in us when we're saved. So we see the promise of the new birth, the promise of a new creature in Christ Jesus, the promise of being made a new man, being made different. We're thankful today for this. Now, what is the result of God sending his Son to redeem us? What is the result of God sending his Son to redeem us? We see three things. First of all, we read about it. Believers are adopted children of God. Believers become adopted children of God, adopted sons of God. In Galatians chapter 3, we find that. We also see, turn to Romans chapter 8, we'll conclude here. In Romans chapter 8, we see two things here that are very important that we receive as a result of God sending his Son to redeem us. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 16, first of all. First of all, we see in Romans 8, verse 16, notice, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are who? Children of God. So first of all, we see, as believers, we receive assurance. That is the Spirit of God that comes and indwells us. He lives within me. He lives within me. We receive that assurance. Believers are also made heirs of God. Look at verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of who? God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh my, what a promise that is. We may suffer with him. We're going to be glorified together with him one day. We see today as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ and how God's Son and how he came into this world. He came to deliver us. He came to deliver you and to me of the sins of that mankind and give us the opportunity to become children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ throughout eternity. Folks, I would the world could see how much God loves them. I wish we as God's children could understand how much God loves us, that we might be sharing him with others more than we are. God help us this year to consider the Lord Jesus Christ as who he is. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God that you've given to us to share together and read together. And I pray, God, as we go through this month, Lord, considering your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, God, you will help us to be mindful Lord, of what you do for us, what you've done for us, and God, what you're going to do. Lord, help us, Lord, as we go forth this week to share Christ with people that we come in contact with. And give us the boldness, the power, the words to say as we venture out and we go from day to day. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into the next hour. May your will be accomplished in each of our lives. Thank you for everyone that's here now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.